In a tiny Victorian town, the football club isn't just a weekend ritual.
It's country footy, you get there really early, you leave late.
But then, one day, something happens.
In the back of a caravan, just over the road from this footy club.
Once I realised what was going to happen, it was not good.
And suddenly, everyone must pick a side.
I just felt angry. Those folks were meant to be my mates.
Hometown Boys, a new series by Background Briefing. Listen now on the ABC Listen app.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Today's episode is a story about two disgraced former New South Wales Labor ministers, one of their sons, an idyllic slice of country land that made them $30 million, and a trip to the highest court in the land to try and clear their name. I'm Stephen Stockwell. This is The Case Of.
One of Australia's most colourful corruption cases is over.
A conspiracy that reaped the Obeids $30 million.
It brought great shame on the Labor Party.
The Obeids were motivated by money.
Public office is about serving the people, not serving your pocket.
It is corruption on a scale probably unexceeded since the days of the Rum Corps.
On the surface, the Byalong Valley is beautiful. It's in New South Wales. There's lush grass, beautiful trees, a winding creek. But underneath that land, there are some very valuable coal reserves. And it was this land, bought and sold by Eddie and Moses Obeid with the help of then Mineral Resources Minister Ian MacDonald, which saw them convicted of corruption in 2021 and sent to jail. They appealed in New South Wales. They lost. And yesterday, the final ruling on their case was made in the High Court. It found its way into the patch of ABC Canberra court reporter Elizabeth Byrne. Elizabeth, welcome to The Case Of.
Thank you.
I am so looking forward to talking through this with you. Liz, you're a legend among the court reporters in the ABC. Everyone we have had on the pod that I've mentioned you will be joining us is so excited about it, and I'm so excited you are here because you've been doing this for years. And this is such an interesting story that we have here, this one. This is it's sort of a coal deal, it's sort of a property deal, but I will admit I do get a little bit lost in the detail of what has happened with the Obeids and Ian MacDonald. So can you give me the background of this case? What did they do?
Well, essentially they rigged the allocation of a mining exploration licence for coal in the Byalong Valley in an area that included a farm and a couple of other properties that were eventually owned by the Obeids. Now, there is no suggestion that that grazing property that the Obeids had was bought with illegal money or anything like that. There was mm-hmm. anything illegal about that. It's what happened after that that became the subject of this case. And like you, I sort of half followed it for years and years. There's some very good colleagues of mine, including Jamel Wells, who covered this for many years. And so I was a bit at sea with the detail of it until it arrived in the High Court and I had to then go back and understand what had gone on here. But essentially, the charge was always conspiracy to commit misconduct in public office.
Right.
And this was a case of Ian MacDonald was the Minister for Minerals, so it was his sort of bailiwick to be granting exploration licences. So he was the person who had that power in New South Wales at the time. Mm-hmm. And his former colleague, Eddie Obeid, had actually been a minister in a Labor government, but he'd also been a member in the New South Wales upper house for many, many years, from 1991 to 2011. But at the time of these offences, he had left Parliament.
Yeah, and Liz, this was kind of a political scandal of the highest order in New South Wales. This was a huge deal. You had a current resources minister doing these deals with a former colleague, effectively, and his son to net them a lot of money. I think it was $30 million that they made out of this deal, the Obeids?
Well, the Obeids did make $30 million out of it, and some of the inquiries afterwards suggested that they were to make even more than that. Ooh. But that was the sum total at the end of it. And it was a very serious political scandal at the time. And it was gone into in great detail over the years about how the arrangements were made, how the conspiracy emerged, and whether Ian MacDonald had actually done the wrong thing. I mean, there are suggestions that he was just enthusiastic about his job. I have to add that this was not his only, if you can call this sort of thing, a rodeo. He also spent time in jail for another similar arrangement where he granted a license directly to another group and was found guilty of that and is jailed for that as well.
Yeah. So basically we have a politician, a minister, using their power, using their authority to favour friends, more or less. I mean, what did he stand to gain from this? The Obeids got $30 million. What did Ian MacDonald get?
Well, the only thing he seems to have gotten from this particular thing was jail time. There was some suggestion at the time of the ICAC inquiry that they were all involved in before they were ever charged, that he was in line to receive some kind of benefit. That didn't seem to go anywhere, and there was a suggestion that arrangement had fallen over. So he really didn't, on any public document anyway, receive anything for this. He simply got sent to jail because the conspiracy was alleged and eventually found to have taken place.
Yeah, and I mean, Liz, this deal is pretty complicated. You know, you've got properties being bought and sold, mining leases being slightly extended in favour of the Obeids. How does that make someone $30 million?
Well, the property itself, bought legitimately, the plan was to sell the farm and the couple of adjoining properties that were covered by the exploration license to the winner of the rigged tender, and that was Cascade Coal. And that amount was a lot more than they'd paid for the farm because, of course, it had a mining exploration lease over a lot of coal. Then it was said that the Obeids had had a secret stake in Cascade Coal from which they would reap more money once mining began. So that was basically the mechanics of how they were to go about it. Some of this got stopped in its tracks, but clearly the Obeids did come out of it with $30 million.
And that $30 million, that was never recovered, was it? The New South Wales Crime Commission never got that money off of them, even though it was found that they obtained it through corrupt practices.
Yes, this is interesting because after the ICAC inquiry, the Crime Commission went looking for that money. Now, this was 2013, so it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it was only last year, in April last year, we received a press release which said that they'd been unable to find the $30 million because the examination had found that the Obeids' financial arrangements were so deliberately complex that they were unable to trace the money.
Wow. That is, I mean, to me that sounds like it has been what you would in other circumstances call very effectively laundered.
Well, I don't think we can say that it was laundered because that would be a criminal charge and they were never charged with that. But I think it has been mixed up with legitimately obtained money, and the Obeids did have, you know, they're very wealthy from legitimate activities as well. And this is what the Crime Commission has said, that the money was so mixed up with legitimate funds that they were unable to trace it through and recover it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, at the moment, the Obeids aren't actually in prison. They are on parole. Ian MacDonald, though, is still in prison. They had, you know, been convicted in 2021. They had appealed in New South Wales. That was rejected. And this went all the way to the High Court, the kind of final opportunity to challenge this conviction. And the decision yesterday in the High Court was one that was really highly anticipated. You know, this is the last chance for it. But on the line, the High Court was going to rule in favour of the appeal. It would have released Ian McDonald from prison. Liz, can you talk me through what happened at the High Court yesterday?
Well, yesterday in the High Court, the case was thrown out, basically. The Obeids and Mr. McDonald had argued that the case against them for the conspiracy to commit misconduct in public office had not been made out because you couldn't have proved that there was a conspiracy. They've said the prosecution couldn't show that there was an agreement for Mr. McDonald to do certain acts to bring about the gains that the Obeids obtained in this deal. So the High Court has thrown that argument out and said that, in fact, the case by the prosecution was sound. And they've talked about how there were actions done by Mr. McDonald. They didn't have to be specified, but the actions done by Mr. McDonald sort of make the case for the prosecution. And just there's a number of things that he did. And I'll just give you a couple of examples. One of them was that he sought confidential information on the coal volumes in that area around Mount Penny from his department. And then after that, he had the department move the exploration permit to cover the land owned by the Obeids, despite objections from their bureaucrats. And then it goes on and there's a number of things. So all of those actions, even if there was no agreement to do those particular things, all of those actions led to the consequence of the Obeids making $30 million.
Right. So basically, they couldn't see anything that said he was doing this because he had a deal with the Obeids, but it looks so favourable to the Obeids and so against the advice of the department that basically the whole thing was like, well, look, based on what we've got here, this looks pretty sound and we're very comfortable with this.
That's right. And the conclusion that the High Court came to was that there was an abuse of public trust contemplated by the conspirators, and that was very clear, and that Mr. McDonald had used his official position to grant the exploration license to them, and that the kernel of the offence was there, and so they couldn't get away with it, basically.
Right. Thank you so much, Liz, for kind of taking us through this and explaining it so simply as well, because even in 2021, when the Obeids and McDonald were convicted, Justice Elizabeth Thornton, you know, spent 2 hours delivering a verdict, reflecting on how complex this was. And now, of course, that was appealed, that was rejected. It's now gone to the High Court, which has rejected it again. You know, am I right in thinking this is the highest court in the land? This is the end of the road for the kind of appeal process for the Obeids and McDonald. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
They're the ultimate umpire.
Yeah. And, you know, forgive my ignorance here because this is the first time I've been, you know, doing an episode about the High Court. So I'm still learning how this all works. And, I mean, when these arguments are being made to the High Court, when you have the Obeids and McDonald, you know, kind of appealing this decision, you have the New South Wales Office or Department of Public Prosecutions kind of defending their original case. How does that happen? Are they in the High Court arguing about this? Are they just writing written submissions? How does this whole process unfold to reach this decision?
Well, it is a process, as you say. First of all, they had to convince the High Court that it was a case worth hearing a challenge to. And most applications to the High Court are rejected.
Right.
They got through. And they got a hearing date in November last year. Now, in advance of that hearing date, they had to publicly release their submissions to the High Court, which they did. So we had an idea about what they were going to argue. I thought it was interesting Ian McDonald planned to, or he did argue, his lawyers argued in the High Court, that if the High Court were to accept the prosecution version of events, then it would be widening the concept of this conspiracy, and that it should be wary of that.
Yep.
As it's turned out, maybe the High Court has narrowed it, but they've certainly drawn a line, but that's for others to decide. But I think it has absolutely drawn a line in the sand under this, and that, you know, people who might be involved in a conspiracy like this are now on notice.
Yeah, Liz, it's really interesting to hear how this kind of characterises the definition of conspiracy.
Yes, well, you would think you'd need a smoking gun to prove something like this. But after the High Court ruling, and even before it really, but the High Court has underlined the fact that you don't need it, that a string of actions can be proof enough that a conspiracy has occurred.
Yeah.
The High Court usually takes quite a while to deliver its rulings.
Mm.
And I was a bit perplexed when I saw, like, it's not even, they haven't had very long to think about it.
Because this was, you know, only heard by the High Court, was it November last year?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So when they said they were coming back in the first week of the sittings with a result, I actually wondered if the Obeids and Mr. McDonald had won.
Oh.
And that they were going to get out of jail, because one of the things the High Court does is if there's any urgency in a case, and one of the things about urgency is if somebody's liberty is at stake,
yes,
they do come back with a quick decision so people aren't left wondering. The other thing, of course, they do is if it's a slam dunk, they come back quickly as well. So I knew either outcome was a possibility, and it was the slam dunk.
It is fascinating, though, the way that the High Court considers liberty, though, the way you're describing that, that, you know, potentially one of the reasons that they would have, you know, turned this around in just a couple of months, you know, obviously a lot of material to go through, a very complex case, could have been that they've looked at it and gone, oh, dear, there's someone in prison who isn't supposed to be in prison. We need to act fast to get them out. So fascinating.
Yes, well, the classic case in this regard is the case where they decided that indefinite immigration detention was not legal anymore, and that overturned a 20-year precedent that they had set themselves.
Right. Yep.
And they didn't even wait a day. They waited 15 minutes while they had a quick discussion, and they came back and delivered that on the spot. So they do take the detention of people very seriously.
Speaking of people's liberty, people's freedom, you know, Eddie and Moses Obeid, as we mentioned, out on parole. Ian McDonald, he will remain in prison, is that right?
Yes, he will. The best information I could come up with when I was looking into this is that he could be eligible for parole next year. So, but he's spent quite a bit of time in jail.
Mm.
And when he was, there's been some to-ing and fro-ing because of the two sentences he's received, and they've kind of been rolled together a little bit. So, he has served time for these two things that he was convicted of. He's been through a number of appeals and resentences, but 2027 looks like the year he'll get his parole.
Liz, this feels like such a dramatic case. I mean, I mentioned before how this was a kind of a scandal of the highest political order, but it was a case as well, as it was unfolding, that was just full of drama and just kind of incredible exchanges in courtrooms as well. Can you give us an insight into a bit of how, you know, just the original trial and some of this has unfolded and some of the colour around this as well?
Yes, it was terribly colourful. I mean, the characters in it are colourful. But the charges took a long time to come to court because along the way there were public inquiries into what had gone on here in the ICAC in New South Wales. And there were some fairly tense moments in that. And these were the moments that I suppose made me sit up and take notice when, you know, my colleagues were reporting on it. One that really stuck in my mind is when Geoffrey Watson, who was the counsel assisting in the ICAC inquiry, asked Eddie Obeid about money that he'd been squirreling away. Mr. Obeid said, well, don't come and say I'm squirreling away anything. I've spent more money than you've made in a lifetime. And that prompted the commissioner, David Ipp, to say, Mr. Obeid, if you spent more money than Mr. Watson has earned in a lifetime, where's the money come from? And then even outside, there were some fairly interesting comments. The police minister at the time, David Elliott, said, I don't care if the ATO strip him bare. As far as I'm concerned, the Crime Commission can take his socks and jocks. So, you know, it was fairly entertaining, but it was all about something very serious, and it was about an abuse of public office. And that's where the High Court landed yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, a kind of incredible story, and one of the biggest scandals in Australian politics over the last, really, kind of 20, 30 years. So thank you, Liz, for joining us and taking us through the High Court's decision, how it's, you know, am I right in saying that it's put a full stop on this saga now?
Yes, except for when Ian McDonald gets out of jail, I'm sure there'll be a little press pack to meet him.
I'm sure there will be as well. Elizabeth Byrne, thank you so much for joining us on the case of. And thank you as well to Claire Rawlinson, who stepped into the case of Hot Seat earlier this week while I was at Haywire. And as always, if you have any questions, please get in touch. Send us an email, thecaseof@abc.net.au, and jump on ABC Listen, best place to enjoy the case of. We have some big things coming very soon. Liz, hoping to get you back on the pod in the next couple of weeks. Can we talk much about that at the moment, or do we need to keep mum?
We should try to keep mum about it. There is something interesting happening in Canberra. It was to have started. There's no firm start date yet, but it is imminent. Not next week, but perhaps the week after.
That is a wonderful, what we call in the business, a forward promote or tease. So thank you, Liz. Hopefully have you back on the pod very, very soon. But while we've got our little project up our sleeve, next week we're going to be taking you inside another courtroom. There are so many cases that we have our eyes on at the moment around the country. So grab yourself ABC Listen, because we are here to keep taking you inside the biggest trials, appeals and other moments in courts all around Australia. The Case Of is produced by ABC Audio Studios and ABC News. This episode was reported by Elizabeth Byrne and presented by me, Stephen Stockwell. Our supervising producer is Greg Muller, and our executive producer is Claire Rawlinson. This episode was produced on the land of the Ngunnawal, Ngambri and Wurundjeri people.